Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter Podcast. This is Julia Legian. I am truly excited to have Anna Dwyer as a special guest on my show today. Anna is a gratitude queen, and she's here to share her beautiful life journey with us today, and hopefully to teach us how to become a grateful being. Hello, Anna. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Julia. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for being part of my show, Anna. Anna, if you don't mind, could you kindly share a little bit about your background with our listeners?
Oh, okay. I live in Queensland, and I have just been on what I call a gratitude journey.
Yes.
And so what that is every day, at the end of my day, I write in a gratitude journal, you know, things that have happened in my day that I'm grateful for.
And what kind of work do you do, Anna?
So I'm in the police in Queensland, and I'm a senior sergeant in the Queensland Police.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of typical work do you do as a senior sergeant?
Okay, so I'm in the ethical standards command. So we just have to make sure that the policies and the procedures in place for the police are, are workable so my job is like to ensure the integrity of the organization by constantly reviewing policies or procedures or dealing with emerging issues in relation to police activities and how we do our business of policing.
Sound very interesting. Anna, the reason I invited you on my show because I love your positive outlook on life and your incredible ability to find things that you are grateful for and write them down every single day for many years without fail. Can you please share with our listeners how the gratitude journey began?
Yeah, so I've been doing gratitude journals for, I think I'm up to, I'd have to check, I don't have my journal on me at the minute, but I think I'm up to day 1546.
Wow.
So down, 1546. I think that's exactly the day I'm up to. And basically in 2011, that's when I started, I think. No, it might have been 2012. So I had my two nieces living with me and they were going to school. And one of them was, she was wagging school and skipping school and she was in grade 12 and just serious misbehaving. And before I'd moved to Brisbane, I'd lived in remote Queensland, like in the outback, way up north. And so I wasn't adjusting to the city. You know, I was a bit overwhelmed by the city.
Yeah.
I was a bit overwhelmed by my niece, like, skipping school. And I didn't know if the job that I was doing at the time was what I wanted to do. So I just decided that I would do a gratitude journal because I've always learned about gratitude journals and the power of them and how they can change your thinking and how they're good for you. And I learned that from Oprah, watching Oprah over the years.
Yeah.
And I just decided, right, if I set myself 1,000 days straight, yeah, then every day, even if I get overwhelmed or stressed or whatever, I'm going to find something to be grateful for.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. I can't believe that, you know, you keep doing it like over 15,000 days straight without fail. I mean, how is it possible for you to keep such great discipline, though?
Well, I think, so 1,500. So I think that the reason why I keep going and keep doing it is because what started to happen was, is, you know, like there's a saying, when you are grateful, you'll begin to see that you have more. So what happened was, is I started to see that I had more, and not necessarily material things, but just, it's like I put a new set of glasses on and I started to see the world in a grateful way. So I'd go about my day and someone would go, oh, the bus is running late. And I'd be like, oh, well, I get to sit in the sun for 3 more minutes. And so I just started to really change the way that I looked at life, and I found it hard to whinge about things. And so I've become addicted to being grateful, I guess. And so I keep going.
That's a wonderful thing to be addicted to, I think. I read an article about you a while back written by Kuravi. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah.
Oh, so Karabai.
Karabai, oh. He's a talented young writer, and in the article he said, or you said, you are a person who likes to see the glass half full, and you consider yourself an optimist. How can you develop such positive attitude? I mean, I know you mentioned a little bit about opera, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, you have a lot to do with it.
I think that I was naturally a glasses half full person anyway.
Yeah.
And so because when life was overwhelming me or stress has come, then that's the place I wanted to reach for. And I wanted to reach for that half full place. And I found I just couldn't do it unless I actually committed to being conscious of writing things in my day. Yeah, I think that's how I would describe it.
It is hard, though, when you're in a negative environment and to, in another word, force yourself to find something to be grateful for. If you found yourself in, which I have no doubt that at some point in your life you encounter a lot of negativity and also find yourself in a dark place, how do you stay in a gratefulness state, Anna? Like, for me, when I'm in a dark place, it is impossible for me to find something to be grateful for.
I absolutely agree. I always say to my friends, you know what? It's really easy to be grateful in good times.
Yeah.
Because anyone can do that.
Yeah.
So I had a bit of, you know, some not necessarily great times last year. It's just some issues were happening, and I started to go into a dark place on some days.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say, like, but it was my mission to keep to my target. So I still had, you know, I still had my husband. I still had a nice home. I still had my little dogs. I still had hot water.
Yeah.
To have a long shower. I guess what I'm trying to say was, you know, on a day-to-day or hour-to-hour basis, there might have been things that made me sad or down.
Mm.
But if you're an outsider looking in, you would see good things. So why can't I be an insider looking in and see those things?
Oh, that's a wonderful aspect in life. I wish I could develop some of this. I'm sure after this I will learn a few wonderful things from you. So I believe that every single day you find at least five things that you write in your gratitude journal, things that you are grateful for. What are the five typical things you write in your gratitude journey each day, and what impact does it have on your life, Anna?
Well, every day I definitely write my husband's name down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every day. Every day. And, you know, I also believe in something bigger than myself, whether it's universe or God, so I always write that down.
Wow.
So I do have a belief or a knowing or a faith that something bigger is happening, and it's for my benefit.
Yeah.
With my husband, I write his name every day. And I find that, you know, if he's, like, doing the dishes or vacuuming, I'm aware that I'm looking at him going, oh, look, there he is doing
it. That's you.
Like, I better write that down tonight. So it's an appreciation to see it when it's happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like I love him very much anyway, and I do wonder if this has made me, like, love him and appreciate him even more.
Yeah. I agree. I think it has a lot to do with it. It's not easy to find a husband that willing to do, you know, everyday chores.
Yeah, the washing. Oh, thank you. I'll write that down.
Yeah, no.
Do five more jobs, so I've got five more things to write down.
That's right. So in 2010, you were chosen by the Oprah show to be an Aussie Ultimate Viewer. How did that come about, Anna?
So at the time I was living in Weeper, Cape York, and I just got onto her website at Oprah.com, and it said international viewers around the world send in a video as to why you're a fan.
Yeah.
So I was up in the outback and just made a video with the big red ant's nest in the background, and I was just talking about how much I loved Oprah, and I knew she was going to see it. I just knew she was going to see it. So I sent that in July 2010, and in September, that's when she did that final first show of the final series to go, we're going to Australia. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see her. So yeah, so I got, they really liked my video.
How did you know though that, you know, that you definitely gonna see Oprah when she, you know, came over?
Well, I had done what's called a vision board.
Yeah.
Earlier, where I had kind of, you know, like you put pictures of things that you want to unfold in your life, and one of them was to go to an Oprah show.
Yeah.
But I just had this knowing, you know, I don't know, I can't explain what that feeling was, but I just knew that she was going to see my video, and I didn't know 100% I would get chosen to go, like, to Sydney as I did. I just thought I was going to win it.
You knew, deep down, you knew that you're going to see her. Yeah. Can you share with us how you do the vision board and how does it work and the process of doing it? Because I heard about vision board, you know, many, many times, but I think I tried to do it myself, but it didn't really work for me personally. I think I must have done something wrong. I want to see Oprah too.
Doing a wrong vision board.
I don't know.
I think that there has to be a real element of belief that it's going to unfold, and you know, like, you know, because I guess it all taps into the law of attraction, or if you're spiritual, asking you should receive type thinking. And you know, like, I thought that I was going to go see a show in Chicago because I put the Harpo Studios picture, which is in Chicago. And I guess the thing is that it unfolded, but it unfolded in Sydney. And I got to go to an Oprah show. So I just stuck a picture of Harpo Studio, a picture of Oprah. I also put a gold star on it, and it had a gold high heel, and said, go to an Oprah show and receive VIP treatment.
Oh, wow.
So I had always had this dream that I would write a book and go on the Oprah show. So I go on the Oprah show with my books. So on the clip, when I'm on the Oprah show, I'm actually carrying a bunch of books. And that's all the books that I've seen from her show. So you need to be really specific. And when I was in Sydney, I looked down at my shoes and I was wearing gold sandals.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I had gold shoes. I think the thing is that you just have to believe it, but then have no attachment to how it'll unfold.
All right. I don't know, Sister Anna, but somehow I think I must have done something wrong, because I wanted to see operas for years and years and years and nothing happened.
But do you think that maybe you thought that you're bored? Did you think that it was not possible?
I thought that, you know, I just did the vision board and I thought I just left it as it is and, you know, just let the universe take care of it. Maybe the timing is not right. I have no idea.
I mean, like, because do you have Oprah on there and yourself?
No, I don't have myself on it. I only had Oprah.
But do you have Meet Oprah on there or something?
No, I mean, I have the vision board. I'm looking at it while talking to you. It's still there. It's been there for a long time. But I just had Oprah. I had Tony Robbins. I have Ellen DeGeneres. But none of my pictures is on that vision board. So I think that could be the missing link.
Yeah, I think that you need to put a specific word to add to it, like Meet Oprah or Meet. Yeah, because you might have just had this vision. And you know what? I bet you all three of them have been to Sydney in the last few years.
I did saw her show last year, but I mean, what I mean is, you know, I love to meet her in person because Oprah is one of my real-life heroes. And I can certainly say that without her, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I would have been, you know, 6 feet under.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, that kind of like inner yearning to tell her, you know, how much I appreciate her shows and how much she changed my life and everything. But it's just that somehow it's like my vision board is like just that.
But see, you're adding these words, like you're already believing that it's not working.
I know.
But you put Oprah on there and you went to a show. So in some way it happened. It just didn't mean that you got to intersect, to meet her.
Yeah.
But if you put the word meet on it, let's see where this goes.
I have to fly up to Queensland and talk to you in, you know, in details yeah. about this. I think I had done it all wrong.
I've seen her 4 times.
I know. I read your article. I couldn't believe it.
Actually, I've seen her more. I've seen her 7 times.
7 times?
Well, I've seen her in New York.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Sydney. And then when she came last year, oh, so 3 times, 6 times. And then Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne.
Wow. I envy you. Next time you have to take me with you.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be another time.
See, because my words, if you know, when I speak with you, there's so many doubts in it. I think that's a reason why.
Yeah. Can't have doubt. It's just going to be pure belief. I will see Oprah again.
Yes, I have to change it, or I have to add on my vision board now. Yeah. Well, before we go, Anna, I always ask our guests, you know, to give some advice for our audience. And I know that a lot of listeners are in a very dark place and trying to find themselves and looking for a way to improve their life. And I'm certain that some of the listeners can't find a single reason in their life that they are grateful for. What advice or what can you say to our listeners?
Well, I think that, you know, I can appreciate and I can understand that somebody would be in a very dark place. Mm. Like I acknowledge that and I accept that. The fact that you can listen to you, Julia, and you get to listen to your words, or you get to share stories with you or hear your stories, to me that becomes number one thing to be grateful for, that you've now linked in to somebody that can help you to see something bright.
Yeah.
You know, I would never ever dismiss somebody else's being in a dark place or being in a not so bright place, but I would definitely say there's always something to be grateful for. It might be your medicine. It might be the fact that you got an hour's sleep in the afternoon, that you got clean running water, or just things that we don't normally think of do exist that allow our lives to be a bit better or easier.
Yeah.
And more grateful for.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful advice, and also thank you for being on my show today. I wanted to speak to you for the longest of time, but it's just that I could never find the right time, you know, to invite you on the show, because I think what you're doing is amazing, and I think it will impact a lot and a lot of people. Definitely a true believer in, you know, looking for something positive in your life and be grateful for it, and the more you've been grateful for what you have, the more you will receive. I think I also believe, I don't know if you believe in the same way, but it doesn't matter what kind of environment or what our past is, there's always something positive that we can take away from that lesson.
Absolutely. And even Oprah says that. She says, in the middle of a storm, stop and say thank you. This is here to teach me something. And, you know, in every fight, every argument, you're either going to learn something about somebody else or you're going to learn something more about yourself. So, absolutely agree.
Thank you for your time. And I'm really, really looking forward to see you in person when I'm up in Queensland.
Yeah, that'll be great. We'll have a coffee over some lavender while they're lavender.
For sure. Thank you, Anna. I hope you have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.